Hey everyone, my name is Dr. Jules Cormier. I'm a doctor, teacher, and nutritionist, and I help people put more plants on their plates. Evidence-based nutrition gave me my life back, and I'm here to tell you all about it. Hey everyone, and welcome to my podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Today is an episode I hold very dear to my heart. And it's about changing. It's about supporting people who are trying to change and using knowledge and science to make changes for yourself. Now, I've been in practice for more than 15 years, and I've witnessed some pretty intense situations. I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not an oncologist. I don't cut people's skull open or prescribe chemotherapy. But I'm an expert in getting to know you. I probably know you very well. I know your kids. I know your husband. I probably know your parents. And if you've been a patient of mine long enough, I might even know the name of your dog. And we've probably been through a lot together. Now, I'm just a family doctor. But you don't have to feel bad for me purposely choosing to not add an extra 3 years of medical training to specialize. That was a voluntary and personal choice. I wanted to be a family doctor, and I chose that path on purpose. Now, what I like most about being a family doctor is forming strong, long-term bonds with my patients. I often think about them even when I'm not at work. I mean, they pop up here and there in my thoughts, spontaneously distracting me from whatever I was doing. Then my wife says, "What are you thinking about?" when she notices me standing blankly into space. To which I reply, "Nothing." I feel connected to my patients, and when I give them a difficult diagnosis, I feel it too. Now, how in the world can doctors keep working day in and day out when most of the news that they deliver is bad? So for me, the joy that my patients feel when I succeed at lifestyle changes justifies that. I feel those emotions too. Now, don't get me wrong, 85% of patients that I counter in a day are particularly joyful or interested in talking about lifestyle change. But maybe 10 or 15% of the appointments do lead to a positive outcome, like a patient losing 20 pounds, or a patient that stops smoking, putting out his last cigarette. This takes much more weight off of my shoulders than the cancers put on. And that's why I've grown to love giving preventative counseling. After years of trial and error, I now use my energy wisely. I get an intuitive sense of where a patient is on the spectrum of change. My gut feeling tells me his readiness to make changes. And then I interrogate his conviction that the change will benefit him and his confidence that he'd be able to succeed if he were to make a change. I tend to invest much more time in patients that are ready, convinced, and confident. And a patient who is guided in a personalized way through change and supported without judgment is much more likely to succeed. Once, I had a patient of mine who drank too much. He was an alcoholic, and after years of failed attempts, I realized that instead of trying to convince him to stop drinking by scaring him, by bombarding him with many of the different chronic diseases he would get if he were to continue drinking, I'd have to help him convince himself. So I stopped bombarding him with all of the complications his bad habits would lead to, and finally ask him what he thought would happen if he quit drinking. His answer was simple. He replied, "Dad, well, it would make me lose weight, and my cholesterol will get better, like you told me for the last 5 years. I asked, "Well, what else would change if you stopped drinking and lost the weight?" To which he replied, "Well, I'd be in better physical shape." We both didn't know where this conversation was going to go, but I kept on pursuing my investigation and kept asking more whys. I asked him, "What would be different if you were in better shape?" And he replied, "Well, I'd be less short of breath." I then proceeded to ask him in what way being less short of breath would affect your life. And this is where he broke down. And I wasn't expecting it. He cried so hard, I became emotional too. He told me that he wasn't able to keep up with his son, an avid soccer player, due to the shortness of breath. We then proceeded to discuss how drinking and obesity had severely impacted the relationship that he had with his son. His son was an athlete, but his father was the opposite. Now, can you see what happened there? I spent years trying to scare this patient into stopping drinking. But then I learned new techniques where the goal was to try to focus on helping the patient convince himself. Through layered questioning, trying to bring his conviction that it would help to an emotional level. He wasn't scared of heart attacks or strokes or liver failure or high cholesterol. But when the layers of questions got down to an emotional level, that's where he had his aha moment. Now, it didn't happen overnight. This series of questions was asked repeatedly throughout the years, and it took him a long time. Now, he deeply understood that the negative consequences of drinking on his health, for him, were actually less important than the real-life ones and the negative impacts it was having on his son's relationship with his father. He recognized that his desire to fix a broken relationship with his son was much more important than avoiding whatever disease that I tried to scare him with on that particular day. Now, he's been sober ever since. He lost a lot of weight, stopped drinking, and patched things with his son. And when that patient told me that he went outside and played soccer with his son, we both broke down. Now that's when I finally realized that instead of telling people why they should change, I had to help them find out why they wanted to. And I recognize that if you want to help someone on a journey of lifestyle change, sometimes you just have to shut up and listen. Ask questions instead of giving answers. Ask questions instead of making suggestions. Now, the patient already has all the answers inside of him. So if your father smokes, instead of bombarding him with threats of lung cancer, ask him how cigarettes impact his life. And ask him what would the benefits be of him stopping. Then shut up and listen. Don't give suggestions or options. Don't try to scare him off with chronic diseases. Just listen. You'll quickly notice that most people already have all of the reasons to stop and the recipe for success inside of them. Maybe you'll even get a better understanding of why he smokes. And what are the positives of him stopping? And why is he so hesitant to stop? These answers are buried deep down, but when they say it out loud, it floats to the surface and becomes real. For a lot of people, that could be their breaking point, their rock bottom, or what we call an aha moment. We can go get these aha moments through proper questions, not suggestions, by shutting up and listening to the answers, and then asking more whys to get on a deeper emotional level. We have to play a role of support and encouragement instead of fear-mongering. Make them feel comfortable to talk about their lifestyle changes. Don't try to guilt them into changing. Show them that they'll be able to talk to you openly whenever they're ready. Most of us have already had either personal, family, or other types of medical issues, and no smoker wants to die from lung cancer. We don't need to tell them that that's a risk. They can read it on the pack. And a lot of people can't understand why others smoke when they know that it's bad for them. Well, the first issue is that the immediate benefit of a bad habit will almost always outweigh the predictable but distant negative outcome. Immediate gratification will almost always trump a possible bad outcome in the future. And that's one of the reasons that people keep doing what they know is bad for them. These people need our ears in our support, not our criticism. Now, be kind and be respectful. You have no idea the fight that someone is having every day, quietly with themselves. So, even if you're not ready to stop smoking, or to lose weight, or to eat better, or to stop drinking, or to make lifestyle changes, talk about it with someone you trust. That doesn't oblige you to do anything. But if you know that you'd be healthier without that bad habit, talk about it. That doesn't mean you have to act. Just having the right conversation with the right person at the right time might just redirect you on a path that you would have never predicted. And that's exactly what happened to me. When I decided to embark on my plant-based journey, I wasn't thinking about cholesterol or high blood pressure or avoiding a possible heart attack down the road. But it all clicked for me that one day where I was rock climbing and I saw this older guy, probably in his late 60s, still looked pretty in good shape. He was rock climbing with his daughter. Now, I never thought that that night would change me or have an impact as deeply as it did. But seeing that father rock climb with his daughter helped me project myself into my own future. And that's when I knew that I wanted to be healthy as an older person enough to follow my daughters in their sports, or to play or throw a ball or play tag with my grandchildren. For me, what motivated my change was connection that I would get with my kids through being able to be active and healthy. So, changing is a process, and the likelihood of succeeding increases tenfold when the people surrounding you are like-minded, are supportive, and are not critical of your bad habits. So next time that you meet someone that has a bad habit, all they need is your ears. They don't need criticism, they don't need suggestions, they need support, and they need you to ask the right questions. They need you to ask why. And when they give an answer, you need to ask why again until the answer goes from a superficial answer to a deep, emotionally connected answer. I'll give you another example. I had a patient with very high cholesterol, and that patient always had refused medication in the past. They were kind of anti-medication, but their cholesterol was high. And I had already told that patient that I don't care what we do, but we need to get that cholesterol number down. So I resorted to my usual tactics, which were trying to scare them off with statistics of strokes and heart attacks, at some point even saying that they might not be able to see their grandchildren or to walk their daughters down the aisle. Basically, I was desperate. I was trying everything I could to convince this patient to take cholesterol pills, knowing that the pros and cons and the balance was very, very much tipping towards increased risk of cardiovascular disease, and even considering the risk of statins, which are drugs to lower cholesterol, I really felt that the risk of having cardiovascular disease was too high. So at some point, I decided to change my approach. And I asked that patient, what would happen if your cholesterol was better? What do you think would change? And they asked, well, I think my heart health might get better. And I said, well, what would happen if your heart health was better? Well, live longer and enjoy retirement. And then I asked, and how would having an unhealthy heart affect your retirement? And that's when I saw the ball rolling. I saw the patient contemplating on how to answer this question, but then he answered in a way that I would have never predicted. So this patient told me that they had been saving up their whole life to tour Canada in their RV. Most of their life savings were tied up in this RV purchase, and their dream was to tour the country. So now I wasn't talking about cholesterol causing heart attacks and strokes. We were talking about heart and strokes preventing this patient from living out their lifelong dream of touring the country in an RV. Now, the patient wasn't convinced immediately, and I didn't want to capitalize on this. I asked the patient to go home and to reflect. We checked the numbers again in 3 months. They were stable. They were still high. Lifestyle changes that the patient had made didn't work or not enough. And then the patient asked me for cholesterol pills. So over the years, I've learned to stop trying to scare people into changing. And instead, I focus on helping them convince themselves. People have all the answers inside of them and already know the pros and cons of changing. So instead of bombarding them with mysterious diseases, just ask them why. And ask them what would be better if they would change and what would be worse. I end up having answers that I could never have predicted. And this really helps me and helps the patient in the changing process. Now, I'm not trying to convince this patient to take cholesterol pills. I'm trying to help them properly weigh the pros and cons. And if patients refuse a cholesterol medication when I really feel like it's indicated, they have a right to do so. But I want to make sure that they fully, deeply understand the benefits of treatment and the risk of not treating. And I want them to understand this on an emotional level and how it will impact their life. Now, I use this technique regularly with people for all types of changes, including compliance to medication, but mostly for lifestyle changes. And the fun part is patients can use this technique on themselves. I use it on myself regularly. When I'm not in the mood for eating healthy or going to the gym, I always reflect back on my why. And now my why has evolved and grown to be so much more important than it was at the beginning. I'm not just changing for health anymore. I'm changing for health. I'm changing to be a role model for my daughters. I'm changing so I can rock climb with my daughter when we're older. I change so I can be a spokesperson for health for my patients. and I have multiple different whys. So when I'm not feeling motivated or disciplined, I go back and just reflect on my why. And most of the time, that's enough to get me off the couch. And you can do that for yourself. You can reflect on changes that you want to make, but you're not, and things that you'd like to change. And then reflect on it by asking yourself, what would be the benefits of changing? And continue asking yourself these questions until the answer goes to an emotional level, something you really care about, and not just vague diseases that you might possibly get 10 years from now. Think about how this lifestyle change could possibly impact your life. And think about how not changing could possibly impact it in the future. Project yourself in 5, 10, 15 years from now and really focus and reflect on how that person would react. Most importantly, be supportive. Listen to your friends. Make less suggestions and ask more questions. Help others find their own personal emotional whys. Try to find yours. Sometimes it's just important to shut up and listen and to ask questions instead of striking fear in people trying to convince them to change. Right on. Well, that wraps up another episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. I held this one very dear to my heart. I hope it helped. I hope you find others find their why, and I hope you find yours. Yo, plant-based buddies, don't forget to go check out my website, plantbaseddrjules.com. That's where you'll find links to download my free recipe book, my transitioning guide, and my supplement guide for athletes. In there, you'll also find links to future live events, to my YouTube channel, my social media handles, my blog, and even my other podcast episodes. Now, stay on the lookout for my upcoming e-course, where we'll be using video courses to teach you everything from nutrition science to how to cook and create amazing plant-based meals. And the best way of showing some support is by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, by subscribing and leaving a 5-star review for this podcast. Right on. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you at the next episode. Peace.